Hey everybody, welcome to another Hyperspace Broadcast minisode, an episode where, instead of discussing something that aired on Toonami, we discuss something Toonami adjacent. This week, we're discussing Gonzo's anime based on a PlayStation game, Gatekeepers. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby. Yeah, based on a PS1 game that never came out here, actually. But
yeah, which was also adapted into a manga, of course. And also a novel, apparently. So,
and like Blue Submarine number 6, it also has a little bit of that CG blending with animation.
Yeah, not nearly as much.
When it happens. Yeah.
And the only notable thing that I can recall is, like, in the opening sequence, there's one shot where it's pretty clearly, like, the ground is CG and looks pretty bad.
It's a lot of, like, ground or, like, moving road if they're driving really fast or something.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, it's that sort of thing. This was kind of an interesting show to watch because I really didn't know what to expect from it. I knew really the basic premise, which is that a bunch of teenagers, of course, because who else? It's anime.
Yeah.
Are recruited to defend the Earth from capital I invaders from outer space, and it's 1969, and they use magic powers to do so, but also they eventually get giant robots as well. It seemed like a weird hodgepodge of stuff, and I was curious what they would do with the, like, time period.
Yeah.
Not much, from what I could tell.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing where it's like, the first episode, you can tell it takes place in the 60s because it's like, oh, they got a black and white television. Look at that. They're arguing over which channel to change. And yeah, we have an opener that explains it's like, oh, okay, like the year is such and such, and this is what's happening. And Japan's kind of leading the way with these special forces to fight invaders. And then it has the problem where it's like, yeah, it takes place in the 60s, but they have, like, futuristic stuff that is...
Right, yeah.
Pretty much, better than things we have today.
Right, I mean, it's basically like, well, there are no cell phones, so...
Exactly.
You know.
That's...
it's some nebulous before time, not now. At any rate, this anime series came out in 2000, the... basic premise I've already explained, but our main characters are Shun, who is your kind of every hero anime character, and Ruriko, who is kind of your every girl anime character. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, they knew each other, actually, like they grew up together at some point, so they're re-meeting after all of this time, and obviously there's a bunch of awkward stuff courtesy of that. Essentially, Shun discovers that he has gate powers, which allow him to at first throw random garbage and create like giant whirlwinds. And eventually, we're introduced to a bunch of other characters who all also have magic powers in various forms. There's a girl who can play piano to generate like illusory images, who is kind of useless because she requires a piano to do this, meaning that
it's a grand piano.
Yeah, right. Like, it's not a very mobile ability.
There's one part where they're outside and she's set up with a grand piano on a highway. Right. And then it just gets crushed instantly.
So the invaders tend to take bizarre forms as well. In the first episode, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like basically a bunch of seemingly just like people turn into these sunglasses and dark suit wearing dudes who carry around briefcases that transform into machine guns. And then there is like a red invader that they all kind of coalesce around to form these big, generally quite stupid, like disguises.
They transform into these big forms, but they're always just made out of smaller, they're made out of each individual businessman alien guy.
Right, so, somehow. And it's
the first episode, they transform into a giant orb that is just made of tons of them that shoots out little businessman
little
guys
orbs,
like bullets.
Yeah, of the businessman guys. If you've ever seen, there's a fairly well-known YouTube clip from an Indian movie that's basically like a Terminator knockoff, where a bunch of these Terminators form into a giant CGI ball. It's similar to that.
Terminators.
Yeah, right. And then eventually they form into like a big snake or something. Whatever. The point is that this is a goofy ass show. And I don't even know, like, one of my notes from the first episode is, this is moving too fast for me to even describe.
Yeah.
Like, it is so bizarre and silly. Like, the first episode features a tour bus that transforms into some kind of battle mobile with giant miniguns on the sides that don't shoot or do anything. Like... It's and just it's, there because, sure,
the
fuck
first
it,
episode is just like so hard to understand what's happening because they're like, okay, an invader's over there. We're gonna send out this gatekeeper girl, and they send her out in this tour bus, which is like a fake tour bus,
right? Like,
and she has to stand there. Pretends to give a tour
to the soldiers that are in the bus. It makes no sense. Like, why it isn't just a regular bus, I don't know. But
and then it transforms into the most ridiculous armored bus ever, and
then she gets out of it and starts just shooting arrows at the giant ball, because of course
shooting laser arrows,
right? It's a weird show. Essentially, we watch six episodes, the first five, and then we skipped episode 15 because I think we brought this up last week, but there is a Chef Boyardee style invader, which is pointed out on the Wikipedia page. And basically, I was like, well, we have to watch the episode with that because that's about 50% of why I was interested in watching the show in the first place.
What the fuck is that?
And sadly, the Chef Boyardee style invader is only there for the first half of that, or not even the first half, like for the first, you know, in media res fight scene in that episode.
It's a toss away. It's pretty great though. It's just this giant vending machine with a Chef Boyardee head.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just like a building with a Chef Boyardee head and arms, and you know, they blow it up with their gate powers. That episode, however, is notable because it's the one that introduces the gate robot, and it features basically this episode was the point where I was like, you know what, this show's great, because the like girl who plays piano to do her gate abilities gets in it, and she's sad because her ability is useless, basically. Like, and everyone thinks she sucks at her job, which she kind of does.
She does, and she is from the moment of introduction a Mihoshi style complete idiot.
Yeah, right. Like,
but also a piano virtuoso.
Yeah, so
yeah, she's upset about that. Basically, is doing like manger babies, like doing a puppet show to herself.
Well, and, to kids, to be
and manages to regain confidence and accidentally finds a mecha, thinking it's like, oh, it's basically a giant puppet.
Right, and so the climax of the episode is the Aegis forces carting in a gigantic giant robot sized grand piano for her to play with the giant robot, and you know, that's it. Like, what more needs to be said about this show, honestly? That's all that you need. It's ridiculous.
The commander drops it off in the helicopter. It's just like
two helicopters. It takes two fucking giant helicopters because the thing is gargantuan. Like,
we brought this in the incredibly rare chance that this would happen.
Yeah, just in case just like, you happen to get into this robot, we decided to build a robot-sized grand piano. It is stupid.
The show knows it's really stupid and kind of, it's just really, it's really funny because it knows it's stupid and plays with it.
Right. And it's interesting because literally the reason that we picked this was because it's like, well, this is also a Gonzo production. So,
right.
You know, and I kind of was curious about it based on just the cursory knowledge I had of it. But it also turned out to be like almost a perfect segue into Sailor Moon because it's basically just a magical girl show, but like there's a guy, and also I guess eventually they have giant robots. Well, but everything else about it is like, oh, you know, it's very structured. They have magic powers, they say things to activate said magic powers,
they have very stupid enemies.
Yeah, right.
Like in Sailor Moon.
And yeah, I mean, the Chef Boyardee style invader is like the pinnacle, certainly. But there is also an episode where in the introduction of the Piano Girl, her first episode, eventually she basically has a piano duel against a bunch of invaders that form into a gigantic subwoofer.
That's right.
And then like blast guitar music at her.
Yeah, they have like the craziest like audio duel.
Right.
The engineer comes in and like sets up these gigantic speakers that come out of the wall, right. And like, all right,
to
tons
amplify
of microphones
the piano.
Come down in front of the piano.
Yeah. It's a stupid show. But
one of the other enemies they fight. One of the other enemies they fight is literally two pieces of highway, just these giant pieces of pavement that slap down on the ground to crush them like thwomps in Mario.
I don't even know how I forgot about that. Like, that was... what
so
the fuck?
Good.
It's just highway. And that whole episode is like, before this, you know, they're trying to find the invaders or the UGO, unidentified ground object.
Okay. Yeah.
And it turns out, oh shit, no. In fact, they're just the highway. Yeah, that's right. The bad guys have been hiding in plain sight as pieces of a highway.
And it's not, there's no personality to this piece of highway. It's just
two
giant slabs of slabs of street.
Yeah, it's not a highway monster. It's just two pieces of highway.
It's fucking great.
And of course, you know, because it's a comedy, this is all done completely straight faced. Like, no one ever comments on how stupid anything is. It's just, oh, okay, well, guess we're fighting highway. Fine.
Yeah. I want to watch more of this show. This is one of those minisode moments where it's like, you know what? I could go the long haul with this one.
Yeah,
this show is ridiculous.
I enjoyed it enough. I'm not sure that I'm going to necessarily join you for the long haul, although I did enjoy how crazy what was happening in front of my eyes was. But I don't know. I think that this kind of got me into the perfect mood to watch more Sailor Moon, because
absolutely,
it is so parallel to that. And actually, something you brought up before we started recording that's interesting is like, why wasn't this on Toonami? This was released in 2000. It seems completely on point. There's a dub of it even, although I couldn't exactly track down when the dub was released. But still, like, this, it seems like this would have been a perfect fit for Toonami at some point, and I'm kind of surprised that it's not on there. Although I guess Toonami was technically like an action block, and this is more comedy than it is action.
Nah, this is, but it's got a lot of action in it too. It's I don't know.
I mean, that's the justification I can think of. It's like, maybe it was too silly.
Sure.
But I don't know. I guess fortunate that we happened to stumble across it and then cover it, because what a gem.
Yeah. Well, next week then, we're getting started with Sailor Moon S.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
The new dub.
This is the one I've been waiting
for. New Horizons.
Yeah. The dub is slightly different. They changed the voice of Sailor Moon for some reason.
I mean,
the voice was great.
We've talked about this, and we'll talk about it again next week. But
yeah,
yes, I'm excited to get into it, if only because, if I remember correctly, the bad guys are called Death Busters. Is that...
You're damn right they are.
Exactly.
I think they're not called Death Busters in the dub.
Oh, that's too bad.
I think they are referred to as the Bureau of Bad Behavior. So
okay, I'm not sure which one is better. we'll have to figure that out next week, I guess. Until then, I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us for the Bureau of Bad Behavior. God, what a name.